before I say anything, it's always a pleasure to come up here, and as I said last night, I'm so touched by everybody that can be to have supper with us on Saturday night. Just very special to us. And in this season of Thanksgiving, that's one of the things I'm deeply thankful for, the devotion you all have to what's done here, and stay with it and keeping on. You know? I deeply appreciate that.
We enjoy your company. Glad you come.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I love all the hymns, but the opening hymn, the processional hymn, is especially touching. It talks about the world being a harvest. The first verse talks about the physical harvest. It's bookended with the rogation days at the beginning of the growing season, where we ask God in intercessory prayer, and we ask each other to pray for seasonable weather, seasonable rain, and for a plentiful harvest. And the other end of that, which is bookended in between, is this growing season, and the bookend first at the beginning of the rogations, which rogare means to ask, and thanksgiving, where we thank God for his provision in all our material needs and in the harvest of the field. Now also the second verse talks about all the world is God's own field. It's talking about the church. You know, when we talk about the church, we talk about the people that are people of faith, but also when we're talking about the tares, which is a parable of Jesus, you know, that should we rip out the tares and said no, and our Lord said, no, don't. In the story, he says, leave them and let them grow together. And then this hymn talks about how God will separate them. So it's up to God. We're in fellowship with everybody that we can be, and those in the world and in the church. God will sort all that out. But this is also talking about that at the end, Christ will come and receive to himself those that are faithful to him. And we have the means to prepare for that. We have, again, our prayer life, our gathering together like this. And most of all, as we gather together, these Sundays, when we can receive together the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, I want to read St. Paul's exhortation in 1 Corinthians 11. Turn to that. I start with verse 23, and we'll just talk through this about what is involved in you, because you'll recognize this when the priest does the Mass. You'll recognize a lot of these words. And it starts in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Again, this is reiterating the gospel that we just read, but remember these epistles were compiled before the gospels were. So this is St. Paul's rendering of what he knew about this. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And that's people outside in the Protestant world wonder why we have a depiction of Christ still on the cross, because we do rehearse the manner, we present the manner in which he gave himself for us. We always remember that Good Friday is the victory for us, for the whole world, and Easter is the proof of that victory. So when people ask why we show Christ on the cross, of course he's not on the cross anymore, but we remember that, we recall it each and every time we have the Eucharist. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh himself damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now that sounds pretty terse, and it is. Now that doesn't, none of us are worthy of what God did for us, that's obvious. But our mindset, what is our mindset? Are we looking to Him to indwell in us, in the Holy Spirit, and let Him guide our lives? Yes, we're going to trip and fall. That's why we gather together, we have confession. But this, the unworthiness is just taking it and not realizing what it is and being irreverent towards it, or just not being predisposed to receive sacrament of the very body and blood of our Lord. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Once again, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So we take the chastisement of the Lord. As a father loves his son, he chastises him, and so the Heavenly Father chastises us. But we are still in Him as long as we stay focused on what He did for us and just realize the magnitude of what He does for us. So the Eucharist, of course, the word means Thanksgiving. In this Thanksgiving season, we talk about thanking God, as I started with, for harvest, for our families, our homes, and even Thanksgiving through going through such as you've gone through, that you came out of it alive and you're still here praising God for it. That's something to be thankful for. It sure is an encouragement to me when somebody who's been through such things comes out and still is a cheerful countenance. That's something to be thankful for. With that, a few things about what Thanksgiving Day, how it came about. Originally, of course, it was a harvest festival, and then it took on deeper meaning through the years of thank God for everything, our whole estate in life, Thanksgiving especially to Him. It's been a national holiday since 1863, when Abraham Lincoln proclaimed thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. So at that point, it was made a national holiday, even though the first one, of course, was there in Massachusetts, in Plymouth, a year after the Pilgrims landed in 1621. And there said Edward Winslow, who attended that, reported that there were 90 Native Americans and 53 pilgrims there. In 1941, President Roosevelt proclaimed that the fourth day of November would be the day that we would celebrate Thanksgiving. Before, it had been said that it would be the last Sunday in November, and usually it was, but sometimes there would be a flip-flop. You know how months, sometimes there are five Sundays in a month. So that was fixed then as the fourth Thursday in November. But the main message of Thanksgiving is a thanksgiving to God for what He has done for us, what He has left the Holy Spirit here to guide us, and most of all, to come faithfully among us to receive His very body and blood. So come, let us eat, for all things are ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.